He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
September, Vernon, 2012.
How did that happen? I cannot believe that it's like September already. August just flew by.
What a beautiful month it was, too, here in the desert of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Hot weather, swimming, beach time down at the lake. We went fishing. Oh, my goodness. It was
great.
Well,
you did. You did. I didn't get a chance to because I was working so much and baby and moving and stuff like that. But this interior weather here is really good for my body.
Good.
Have you ever heard
too.
Me complain of any of my allergies or anything like that?
No, I think, you know, obviously the environment has everything to do with how we feel.
I think I'm in the right place.
Yeah, and that's part of, I guess, our challenge as human beings is to find the right place to be and live so that we can exude our optimum level and state of mind.
And it doesn't matter what age you are. People usually say, well, you know, when you get older, you have to be a snowbird, right? But I think it's any age. Some children can even be suffering from allergies because of the environment as well, right?
Well, look at your brother. He left Canada, went down south to California because of his allergies,
absolutely.
And he never came back.
Yeah, and never came back.
I'd like to go to another planet, you know, and never come back.
Well, why don't you do that?
Well, I'm waiting for the technology. I would beam myself up if that was possible, or I would mentally transfer my personality, soul, and being to another planet, but I don't know how to do that yet. So
it'd be nice if we could do that with husbands. Just beam them up. Beam them down when we need the garbage emptied or something like that.
Well, it works both ways. Mm. And saying that and that being said, what's cooking?
What's cooking is oatmeal on the stove. Now, I've talked about oatmeal before, but what happened was Daisy was here visiting with her son, Max, and he was eating his breakfast. And I said, what's that? And I took a bite of it, and it was absolutely delicious. She says, well, it's your recipe, Tracy. And I said, oh, yeah, right, oatmeal. Well, it's been summertime, and I haven't been eating oatmeal, so I decided to make a nice pot of steel-cut oats. And it's just a wonderful meal, and I make a huge pot of it. I cover it, and I keep it in the fridge, and I have a little snack on it morning, noon, or night. And kids and teens and adults love it. And again, it has a lot of benefits as it's delicious and nutritious.
Well, there's no doubt you make an excellent oatmeal with all the goodies that you add into that. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Right. You can add whatever you want into the oatmeal, but I use the steel-cut oats. And the steel-cut oats are not as refined.
They're a slow-cooking oat, isn't it?
They're a very slow-cooking oat, so you really have to kind of man the stove. You can't just leave it like those other rolled oats, the minute oats. It could take up to a half an hour to make. There's a lot of different combinations that you can use, and the recipe here that I use is I add hot water, and I add an unpeeled grated apple, and it could be any type of apple, like if you have one around the house, doesn't matter what kind, pure vanilla extract. I add a teaspoon of cinnamon, or you can just put a cinnamon stick in and discard it after you finish cooking. I like currants. You can use black currants, or you can use raisins. It doesn't really matter. And 4 cups of filtered water. Bring all that to a boil. Then you add the steel-cut oats. And you want to keep stirring. You want to keep stirring it. I mean, you can leave the stove, but, you know, check it all the time. Bring it to a boil and then simmer for 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And the steel-cut oats is a nice, crunchy, nutty flavor to it. Once you've made the oats, when you have a bowl of it, you can add to sweeten it. You can add unpasteurized honey. You can add stevia. You can add maple syrup, agave, black molasses, whatever that you like, what you prefer. We stay away from the white sugar and the brown sugar. We don't add milk to our oatmeal. What I would do if I want to get a boost of protein, I will add a scoop of protein powder and mix it all in. I would not reheat that bowl of oatmeal after I've added that protein into it because then it would go lumpy. So you're getting a nice little kick with the oatmeal before a workout or after a workout.
Yeah, and that's important too, to know that oats are concentrated sources of energy. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to think of myself as a steel-cut oat.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of energy, concentrated, low glycemic index, and slow cooking.
Yeah, that's you all right.
But they are concentrated, so depending upon your body composition, you know, you have to learn how to manage carbohydrates in this life. If you're a fast metabolizer of energy and you need the energy, like an ecto, they can really benefit by taking these hits of concentrated oats and yams and legumes and things. But those of us who are more slower functioning and have less need of carbohydrates and less need of energy and have to be careful with our so-called weight, our body composition or our fat mass, we have to learn how much of an oat meal to take at what time.
Exactly, absolutely. And also gluten. Now, if you have celiac disease, then you want to be careful about the type of oat, because an oat can have gluten in it if it's processed in a manufacturing facility that has wheat or barley or rye. So you want to get the cleanest oat that you can possibly find and just play with it if you have any problems with digestive system. But the steel-cut oats are groats that have been cut into 2 to 3 pieces and not rolled. So they're just cut with steel. And they take considerably longer to cook than rolled oats. And they do have that really nice, chewy texture.
Yeah, and then also don't ruin the oatmeal by adding a bunch of gunky stuff or like refined sugar. People think that brown sugar is healthy. It's not. It's just coated white sugar, a little tinge of molasses that remains. But essentially, it's an empty, dead food, completely sterile. This is an opportunity to take the advantages of unpasteurized honey and the antibiotics and healing value of honey into your body. Of course, blackstrap molasses. I mean, who do you know these days besides old farts that has blackstrap molasses? When's the last time you heard a kid talking about eating blackstrap molasses?
That's what Ruby's taking right now is blackstrap molasses.
And because of our influence,
right? Exactly. And she loves it. She would just pour it on her oatmeal when she was a little girl, and I was like, ugh, even I didn't like that. I like just a little bit. She would just make it black. But she's taking it right now for the baby for iron when she's breastfeeding, and it's just, it's wonderful rather than taking an iron capsule.
Isn't she also taking brewer's yeast?
Also brewer's yeast. She puts everything into her protein shake, but she does take the blackstrap molasses in a tablespoon. She loves it. And that baby, she's producing milk, high-quality milk. And the baby's growing and getting chubby-wubby, and Ruby's feeling good, and she looks fantastic.
Well, we are what we eat, so
yes,
the mom
exactly.
is eating, and then the baby is consuming the milk, and the milk is made from, literally, what the mother is eating. Yes. I mean, where else would it come from, right?
Mm-hmm. So the steel-cut oats, it also can be called Irish oats, Scotch oats, pinhead oats, coarse-cut oats, steel-cut oatmeal, that type of thing. So there's different names for it, so you want to just read the labels and go to the health food store. And, you know, other big superstores, they carry steel-cut oats as well. But just remember, it does take longer than regular oatmeal, and it's not mushy. It's more crunchy and nuttier texture. And you can add blueberries, you can add bananas, strawberries, anything you want. You can add nuts and seeds and sunflowers, hemp seeds, pumpkin seeds, dried fruit, whatever you want. You can make a really nice little meal out of it. But as I said, you can also add a scoop of the whey protein isolate to give you that little bump of for extra protein.
I'll be the steel-cut oat. You can be the pinhead. Do you know who Pinhead was in Hellraiser, the
series? I can't really remember. That's not
He's
really...
that guy with all those pins sticking out of his head.
Oh, yeah.
The source of all the evil in the world and it tortures people. Oh, it's bizarre. Just
really
thinking
nice.
About it.
Really, really nice. All right, then. Let's move on, shall we? So get into the oatmeal. And the beauty of that oatmeal is, yes, it can keep up to 1 week in the fridge, covered. You want to make sure you seal it properly. And then what you do is take a scoop. What I do is I'll take a scoop out and put it in a little container to take with me. And then by that time, it's kind of room temperature. And I can eat it at room temperature. I don't have to reheat it. And then I just put a little honey on it. And then it's there wherever I go in my pack sack just to have a little something when I get low in energy. And man, does it work. It's awesome.
Well, it's a low glycemic slow releaser, right? So when you pack this stuff in, for me, I would rather have it after a workout, like you mentioned, like with a protein shake and then a bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to load up with a big bowl of oatmeal then go to the gym. I'd feel really heavy and sluggish.
Well, that's what I did yesterday. I had a huge, big bowl of it yesterday before I went to teach dancing. But mind you, I walked 20 minutes, I danced for 4 hours, and then I didn't get home till like 9:30. So I was really hungry after that. But I'll tell you, it sure did sustain me.
Well, see, now that's the difference when you know that you're going to be involved in like an endurance event.
Right.
Like a runner or something, right?
Yeah.
And your metabolism has a demand for it, especially when you're dancing. I just can't believe the volume of energy that you dispense and that dancers release when they dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Continuously. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
But it's not a power event. It's not a strength event.
No, it's an endurance.
It's an endurance event. So that's where that oatmeal and those low glycemic carbs come in handy.
Now, normally we would say you have to earn your carbohydrate.
Yes.
Right. What did I do today to earn that yam or rice or even if you had some whole meal pasta? You know, what did I do? Did I earn this today or was I slug watching TV, reading a book? Then I wouldn't suggest it if you want to really maintain your ideal body fat composition, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. Okay.
Get into the oatmeal, people.
Yeah, right on. And also with oatmeal, you have to keep in mind that... Now, did you say that there was no gluten in it or that there was gluten in it? Because oats are a source of gluten.
Oats can have gluten. So it just depends on the processing, like where they're processed. And if you are sensitive to gluten, then you have to be careful if you have it. You have to take it in small doses, see if it upsets you. Get the highest quality oats that you can possibly get.
Yeah, that could be the downfall, too, because there are conflicting reports and research papers about whether or not any of us should even consume anything with gluten in it at all. But I think maybe it's too much. You know,
overload.
They've got oats and they've got bread, and bread is a big one. Too,
and then the muffins, and then you have the pasta, and all day long you're just loading up.
So if your diet was really, really clean and it was based on nature and whole natural food, and then you took in some oatmeal, you could probably determine by your own connection to yourself whether or not it was bothering you.
Right.
But you can also measure these things in other ways functionally.
Yes.
Good stuff. Okay.
Okay.
That was your little recipe. And moving on now, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Anne Baroque. She's a naturopath, an iridologist, hypnotherapist, the author of The Candida Cure. She is just an unbelievable speaker. And the life that she's had, I'm just wowed when I listen to her story. Unbelievable. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at 24 years old, and she healed herself. It was either do or die, right?
Well, I saw her on, I believe it's called iHealthTube. It's a YouTube series.
I found her, right.
Yeah, and I listened to her, and I looked at her, and I saw a good example of health. I like to see people that live the life. You know, that means it's possible to achieve what it is that they're promoting.
What she is saying is that when she did have multiple sclerosis, she cleaned herself up with a candida diet, which most people who have multiple sclerosis or cancer or any kind of affliction is candida, which is yeast. So clean up the diet in the yeast, right? And then the multiple sclerosis, she was having to do the chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And they said to her, if you do the chemo, you will be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Or you're going to die. One or the other, you know what I mean? It's like, so she just walked away from the medical system and just helped herself and picked up some books and just did it herself, and that's what got her into...
Well, it's a testimony to self-healing.
Yeah.
And the importance of education and doing it yourself and not leaning on everyone to do everything for you, which is the mistake people make when it comes to their illness.
She says that you have to make a choice if you want to be healthy or not.
Yes.
It's all about choice. You either do it or you don't do it. And nobody can twist your arm and make you do it. They can for a short period of time, but you have to want to do it yourself. She also talked about just to get rid of alcohol, dairy, gluten, and sugar. And if you get rid of this stuff in your diet, then that's a step ahead in the right direction. Now, she says also that alcohol, we've always said this, it's what you do every day, not what you do once in a while that makes the difference, right?
Right, unless you're the type of person that will slip and fall and stay down.
Yes.
In other words, once you taste the substance that you, like an alcoholic who shouldn't really have any beer, although in essence, if the person is truly healed and balanced out mentally and emotionally, they should be able to drink a beer in the way that it's always been consumed historically without falling into the sewer of their own mind.
Right.
But there are all kinds of variables that people have to deal with in their own minds, especially that are emotionally linked to tragedy and how they were raised and their perception of reality and all the rest of it.
For me, I don't drink alone.
Well, the Indians
had
no alcohol.
What's the fun
in that? Indians had no alcohol in their diet at all. So it wasn't social for them. It was brought in, and then, of course, they don't produce very much alcohol dehydrogenase. They consume the alcohol It produces formaldehyde. It fries their brains and destroys the nervous system, more so than the average person.
Right, exactly.
So there's an example of genetics and enzymes. However, there's a substance out there on the planet for everybody that if we consume it will cause a lot more damage in our body than in brother, sister, mom, dad, or next door neighbor.
Right.
So that is part of our challenge and obligation is to determine what it is in our environment, including food, that can cause trouble or generate health and wellness and liberate the resistance that we need against the pathogens, against the bacteria.
Well, let me. You asked her about immunization, and she says she's totally against it.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, looking back now, let's say when I'm 24 and I've got my first kid in Hawaii, Daisy. Now, if I knew then what I knew now, I would still have done the same diet because I was really strongly convinced, and I still am even more so. So, you know, I'm 54, so we're getting into like a 30-year stretch. So 30 years later, constantly studying, constantly researching, wanting to know the truth, the diet, and all this information. So what's nice to know is that my position has not changed at all. If anything, the screws have been tightened.
Right.
So the diet that we can see right now, the way Ruby is feeding her baby, and we both feel very, very strong about whole food and real food and how simple it is, in essence, to make your own baby food for a little baby when she starts to move from breastfeeding only to foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that difficult. You just have to be convinced that it's important. But absolutely, absolutely, I would never, ever vaccinate or immunize my children. Never. Not in a million years. No amount of money could convince me. It's poisonous. It's toxic. It's a conspiracy. It's evil. It's sick. And these drug companies are worse than Hitler and Nazism. And they're all tied in with a huge force of non-science that's profit-generated only. The other thing, too, I would never, ever mutilate my son again. I circumcised Michael, and I would never, ever do that. Now that I know that there's no science to it, it's idiotic, it's stupid, it's based on pure fiction.
It is.
And anyone that does that is willfully mutilating their son and ripping their skin off, which has millions of sensory cells that are part of his orgasmic and sexual function.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sick what we do mm-hmm. to little children who do not have the ability to say no.
Well, what it is the story that this little girl saw her mother put the roast, big roast in the pan, and she cut off the end. And she said to her mother, "Why do you cut the end off the roast?" And she says, "Well, my mother used to do that." So anyway, the little girl goes to her grandmother and says, "Grandma, why do you cut the end of the roast off?" And she says, "Well, because it wouldn't fit in the pan, right?"
Yes.
But the little girl, when she was a little girl, she didn't realize that the mother cut the roast because it didn't fit in the pan. She just saw her do that, so she did it without asking any questions. But the other little girl, she asked questions and wanted to know. And it was just as simple as that.
Well, this movie we were watching last night, which was great, we loved the TCN, the old black and whites, but at that time during the 20s, approval from everyone in your society, especially high society, the aristocracy, everything was all about what other people thought.
Yeah.
So they hid the truth, what was really like love affairs and all kinds of stuff inside of families going on and alcoholism, and it was all kept a huge secret. Like, for example, if you were gay, that was before they came out, right? That's just an example.
Yeah.
So you can see how the customs and the social pressure on human beings have been so strong to make people live a miserable, horrible life where they cannot be themselves. And I think that that's one of the greatest changes that I've been privileged to enjoy in my life, is that I can actually think differently, and I can actually think, what does Corey want to do? What does Corey think is right? What is Corey going to do in his life? Instead of saying to myself, Corey doesn't know. Corey is stupid. Corey is evil. Corey's a sinner. Corey has no ability.
That's what I say to you. Okay, Corey. Anyway, one of the other things in your interview was about how everybody says in moderation. But moderation has changed today.
That was
moderation
a great point.
Is what it used to be.
Very good point. What was moderate in the past has now become extreme, right?
Yes.
A cookie consumed on occasion has now become a staple diet. So if we're consuming harmful, toxic, dead, sterile food as a staple. Now you can see why there's so many sick people and why this is a beautiful paradigm of profit for the medical industry. Millions and millions and millions of people thinking that the food they're eating is food and having no concept or connection between the food they're eating and their artery disease, their brain tumors, their liver problems, their digestive problems, going to doctors, getting the drugs, getting the pills. You can see the loop, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you see that loop and you step back, and it reminds me of William James because I'm listening to one of his books right now, and he was the father of American psychology. He said, every man, woman has got to take a step back and examine their life. And then that leads me to Socrates, who was the teacher of Plato. And he said that the unexamined life is not worth living.
Right.
So, you know, it's beautiful when you're reading all these different great reads, these great books, these great minds. These people had it all figured out, you know, 1,000 years ago, because they'd spend their whole life just trying to figure out the human mind, what was right and wrong and all the rest of it. And here we are still floundering, still like fish on dry land, not knowing what to do. And the secret, which is not really a secret, of course, is right in front of our face, isn't it?
It is?
Well, just take charge of your life.
Use
your brain. Use reason. Use logic and science.
Okay, I will. Holy moly, man.
You know what the big question is why people don't get what's obvious. Why don't they get what's obvious? Like, you have a friend who's going to...
We can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're really not using it, their eyes. I remember Francis Wingate used to say to me, he was a fellow in the gym who's an engineer, and he said his teacher used to tell him, just use your eyes.
Right.
Use your eyes to see. And I thought, well, that was kind of odd. But, you know, through life now, just look. Just really stop and look. And it's amazing what you'll see.
Well, that was one of the Bible verses that stood out for me as a kid. He who has eyes, let him see. He who has ears, let him hear. And he who has...
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil?
Speak no evil. So we're not utilizing the resources that we have inside of us, that are part of us. We're not utilizing. And I think that's because we've been led to believe that they're not reliable, that we can't rely upon ourselves.
Right.
You know, and I'm saying to everyone, rely upon yourself, but fill your mind up with the resources that are reliable. In other words, use science as a guide, not superstition, not belief in the supernatural, not what people have told you. And if someone tells you something, examine it. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be cruel. You don't have to be distasteful or critical, right? Somebody says something, just consider it, examine it, do your research, and find out whether or not it has any value, and then put it to the test, and then testing it out will prove to you whether or not that has any value. I think that's a good approach in life.
There you go.
So what else is going on for CHI in our world?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you to Anne Baroque for her wonderful special guest interview. And if you haven't heard it, then you get down and you listen to it. It was awesome.
Yeah, and get to annebaroque.com.
Mm-hmm.
And people can go to our website and go to SNU and click that month, which I guess would be August 2012. And the link is there to her website.
And her book.
I think the book, The Candida Cure, is a must read. It's a library book read. It's an essential read. Anyone that is interested in health and wellness must understand this candida issue, candidiasis, and the connection between the yeast and the bacteria and the pathogens and all of the diseases humans have.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
Well, for her, it was multiple sclerosis. Now, who would think multiple sclerosis and yeast are connected?
Yeah, exactly, and cancer in yeast.
But she was just filled with it, right?
Prostate problems in yeast.
Oh, yeah.
Uterus problems in yeast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Anne.
Right, so moving on to CHI, what's going on?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, I'm Dancing with the Stars, and that happens on October 5th, so we've had some dress rehearsals, and they say a bad rehearsal, a good show. Well, I've had a couple of bad rehearsals.
Well, I actually helped out at the last rehearsal. I was the sound dude.
Oh, you sure were.
And I was in the sound room, and I was looking at all these knobs, and I was feeling like Len in his control room, and I'm thinking, this seems like the cockpit of a space shuttle.
Yeah.
And I'd say 9 out of 10 buttons, I had no idea what they did or how to push them. So I was up there. And
yeah, you did a good job, though. We kept saying, turn the music up, turn the music up.
Well, I didn't know how to turn it up.
Blame
so I pushed this knob, and I ended up turning something off, and then this one went on. And it's like, you got to know which knob to push and which one not to push.
So that was good. That's happening. And it's a fundraiser for the Vernon and area, the Hospice Society. So that's going to be really great, and there's lots of costumes. I was fitted for my disco costumes. I was really excited about that. And for me, it's not necessarily the destination. It's the journey. I've made great friends through my students who are really great people, and they're really going out of their comfort zone because they're not dancers. They're going out of their comfort zone to dance for this fundraiser, and we're really having a heck of a good time. And as you know, I'm coming out of retirement through the dancing, so I've really enjoyed myself, and you know, it's fun. All of us who are dancing are like late 40s and 50s, and so we're all in the same kind of boat. You know, we're not like in our...
Well, I think I'm finally getting some of those steps down. You know, you pushed the furniture out of the way the other night out here in the backyard and cranked the music up. We had some schmaltzy stuff on.
Yeah, that was fun.
And, of course, the schmaltzy music, it just one thing leads to the other. And what is it about the music and dance?
What do you mean one thing leads to the other?
One thing leads to the other. When you hear the music, Tracy's
going
to come out
right
and start dancing.
Just
so we can make sure that we keep the music down. We never turn it up. Otherwise, you get start dancing, then you got to drag me out onto the dance floor.
That's right. And dancing, teaching dancing for me isn't just about steps and dancing. There's a lot to it. It's about communication with people. It's about learning how to use your body. It's the movement of your body. It's a learning a rhythm. Like, I have to actually sit down with my students and teach them the beat value. Like, nobody plays a musical instrument.
I don't think there's one movie that we've watched, those old TCM, where dancing is not
movies in
the movie.
There's always dancing.
That's
hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, how many young people today have any interest in dancing the way that you teach it? It's not as common as maybe it used to be, or could be, or should be. Formal dancing. No, that's like you say, you could use dancing to teach people how to socialize and communicate more effectively.
Well, I think it's good for athletes, too, because it teaches a rhythm, right?
It does.
Rhythm in everything. Even if you hear the raindrops falling on the roof, there's a rhythm to that as well. There's a rhythm in life. So that's what dancing is. It's just a different rhythm. So you can do a sidestep. Every single dance that we teach, there's like 20 of them, each one has a sidestep. But it's the different rhythm that you use, the different timing that you use, the different leg action that you use. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, we were fishing the other day, and it was so quiet you could hear a pin drop, and a fish jumped out, and then some dragonflies went sailing by, and we saw a frog jump, and like there's this rhythm to nature. And, you know, everything has a sound.
Yes.
And even I was walking along this old dirt road by myself, it was kind of eerie because I'm in an area of woods where there's bears and cougars and things like that. You would have been a little concerned.
Not if you were beside me.
Well, yeah, but still, I'm game in their eyes. And I'm just thinking how vulnerable I am, how vulnerable I am as a human being in nature. And the only weapon I have, my greatest weapon, is my brain. I've got to learn how to outsmart the predators, not beat them up with my hands, because there's no way. You can't outrun a bear.
Well, you also have to be prepared. You have to be aware that you're going into their territory. So, you know, what do you expect? It doesn't mean to take a gun with you. That's not really fair, is it?
I think that I can see having a gun. Like, let's say that you're in an African jungle, and that's part of your lifestyle. You live there. You can't negotiate with a tiger.
No.
So that is when I would carry a gun. I would never use it unless my life was being threatened, and even then I would try and outsmart the animal or try not to hurt the animal. I think that's the Zen way, is try and do whatever you can not to cause harm to anything or anybody, right?
Right.
But I would carry a gun because that gun represents the power of the mind that potentially was created through intellectualism and science, right? How this little weapon in your hand can actually kill an animal if it's attacking you. Or maybe you could just fire it in the air and scare the animal away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what some of the priests would do. They would just fire the weapon, or maybe not even use one if they didn't have one. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else? Ruby moved. We moved her from her apartment into another apartment, her and Mike and the baby, and we're setting that up, so that's kind of nice. So you have a newer apartment. It's brighter. It's cleaner. It's just a nicer apartment. She's got lots of furniture now. She's starting to collect things.
Yeah, so the adage, you know, it's not always greener on the other side of the fence is not always true, is it? Sometimes it is greener.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes where you are can change and it can become a lot better.
Yes.
I think it depends on your motive and whether or not you're addressing issues at hand, like trying to run away from reality or yourself. I think that that's what that means. It's not always greener on the other side, right?
And we're gearing up for the CHI conference, which is happening on September 29th. So we're excited.
Yeah, we've sent all the posters out.
Yeah.
We've let people know. We sent out posters to over 100 health food stores and gyms, and now we'll follow through with some phone calls.
Right.
Let people know, and I'm really looking forward to an exciting, stimulating event.
It's going to be wonderful. We have some great speakers, and we've got some fantastic exhibitors, and it's just a very intimate conference. It's not one of these big conferences with 5,000 people and it's impersonal. It's just very intimate, and I like that.
Well, we become what we think about. So when you go into that kind of environment, you leave with the impact of what people said and did.
Right.
So then that sort of kind of motivates you through. It's like I think the Hebrews would walk in their bare feet or with sandals on, and when they went into someone's house, they would wash their feet, and that would keep their feet washed for that one day, or they would be clean. I guess the idea is that you have to clean yourself on a daily basis. You can't rely on that one time that you cleaned your feet, right?
Well, they wore sandals, too, and their feet would get dirty in the dust.
Right.
So you don't want to traipse around the house. I know mine do. My feet get really dirty but wearing flip-flops. Not thongs, Tracy. They're called flip-flops. Yeah.
And in Hawaii, you're not allowed to enter someone's home
unless
with
you take
your
off
flip-flops
your shoes.
On. You have to take them off and enter in with bare feet.
Yes, exactly.
And I think there's something about bare feet that people are intimidated and frightened about. It's kind of like you bare yourself in front of the people. Like when you're wearing bare feet, you're kind of happy-go-lucky and free, and you're not restricted by a lot of the restraints of life and society. It's like the barefoot in the park idea, right?
Yeah.
Just ask 100 people to take their shoes and socks off and go tromping on a beach or through a park, and you'll get a lot of resistance from some people.
Well, we did. I mean, I remember we did when we had this.
I remember that same event. And also, when you actually do it, when you're actually running through the park in the grass and the bare feet, something happens to you. It's like a release. It's like a change. I think it's a paradigm of life itself to live barefoot. Right now, I got bare feet.
Exactly. Well, that's it for our CHI update. And next time in October, we'll have lots to talk about the conference and also my Dancing with the Stars to see how that made out.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good one, dear. Okay, so what is your final word?
My final word is by Henry Ford. Nobody can think straight who does not work. Idleness warps the mind.